Welcome to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast, featuring speakers from our 2017 event.
This podcast features Matthew Johnson from M3 Aerial Productions, and his talk is called UAVs in the Sky, What You Need to Know.
Thank you. All right. UAVs in the Sky, What You Need to Know. Unfortunately, if you're here because you want to incorporate UAVs into your operation, what I'm going to cover today is not going to go over absolutely everything that you need to know, but hopefully it's going to let you know where you stand and tell you what you need to do to get to where you want to be with UAVs, unmanned air vehicle systems, or drones. They've come a long way since we started hearing about them about a decade ago with their use with the military. So big data. We've been hearing about big data a lot lately, about 10 minutes ago. We're at a point right now where we're collecting huge amounts of data. It's actually allowing us to make better decisions, decisions about our health, about our money, our parenting, our working habits, and our farming practices. Data is what it's all about. Data is the first step. Big data decisions shouldn't be made without considering as many factors as possible. Historically, collecting data has been a headache. How do you store it? What does it mean? What do you do with it? Powerful computers and software have been developed to a point where we're now able to process big data and produce meaningful results that lead to decisions being made. And the people rejoice. Drones are literally revolutionizing the way job sites across many industries are operating. They've made some jobs obsolete while they're creating opportunities in other ways. I'm going to focus primarily on agriculture, and tied in with that are certain aspects of surveying. And we'll also go over the importance of educating yourself before you start using one of these aircraft. That's right, I said aircraft. These little tools, they're classified as aircraft. It's the same category as a manned aircraft. So while they may look like toys, they're actually valuable tools that are often misused. So my name is Matt Johnson. I'm the owner and CEO of M3 Aerial Productions Incorporated. We started using drones in 2015, strictly for media productions, marketing content, you know, like real estate, golf courses, advertisements, that sort of thing. We expanded operations into agriculture over the winter last year and haven't looked back since. We've also launched a commercial ground school for operators looking to add drones to their toolkit. The drone industry right now is currently exploding in a good way. The concept of using drones for agriculture started a long time ago, but it's only been in the last 3 years or so that the drone has really begun to revolutionize the way that we're doing things. And this is what it's all about. Metrics, big data, tracking and planning, zone management, turning this area into that area. This is an NDVI map. This map is to farming as the injury report is to my fantasy football team. I need to know where the problems are, who's hurt, who can't play, so I can make the decisions to change the plan and put someone else in the game. NDVI is like an injury report for your crop. Producers can see their entire field at a glance and get a scientific calculation of the health of their crop. No more fog of war. This is the fruits of countless people's labors to get the technology to where it is today. This information isn't exactly new, though. NDVI has been around since the 70s. But up until recently, the only way to collect this data has been with satellites and airplanes, both of which can be very expensive and sometimes unreliable. Enter the drone. There's basically two major categories of drones that are being used for crop scouting. And the type that's used is dependent on the scale of the work that needs to be done. If we're going to fly anything more than 50 acres or so, we're going to use a fixed wing. This year, our data was gathered using the Ag Eagle and EB fixed wings. There are many other options out there, including a hybrid unit called the Firefly 6 that can take off vertically and then turn in like a multi-rotor and then turn into a fixed wing flying many acres. They can cover a vast area very quickly. The Ag Eagle requires a catapult that launches it off, whereas the EB is a handheld unit that you can just throw in the air. And they can range in, they can be very expensive. They can range in price from $10,000 to $50,000 or more. And these are multi-rotors. And these are what I would say the vast majority of people are familiar with in terms of commercial drones. So DJI is the largest drone manufacturing company in the world, and these are some of their products. So the Phantom series on the right is the cheapest of those models, and it's the most common purchase of an entry-level drone, mostly for crop scouting. That's probably what's used the most out of those. And then the Inspire at the top, and the Matrix 100 on the bottom. So these drones, they can range anywhere from $1,500 to $8,000 or $10,000. And then there's the sensors. So the MikaSense Sequoia is a multi-spectral sensor that costs $3,500 US. Notice it has five lenses on the bottom. So being a multi-spectral camera, it's capable of collecting five separate bands of light simultaneously. There's green, there's red, red edge, near infrared, and RGB, which is red, green, blue, essentially the visible light spectrum, what we can see with our eyes. So all the imagery is gathered and then it's processed using a special software. There's a bunch of different processing softwares. Many of them are similar in many ways. It can be hard to get a program that can do everything that you want it to. It takes a bit of trial and error to figure out exactly what you want your software to do, and then finding an application that can do it. So the images can be processed in a format called NDVI. It's Normalized Difference Vegetation Index. And it's basically a crop health analysis map. It's one big stitched image called an orthomosaic. And it's made up of hundreds or even thousands of individual images. So as I said earlier, this is essentially a map of a crop's health. You can see areas of stress, showing in red in that case, and areas where the crop is thriving. So the causes of stress are highly variable, and you don't need me to tell you that. This imagery by itself can be limited in its application. That's why you need boots on the ground. So you can't just rely 100% on the imagery. You need someone to be able to get down and dirty in the mud and the weeds, and usually an agronomist or the producer themselves, to check out the nasty areas on the map and see what the problem is. So that's called ground truthing. Is it water stress? Is it disease? Is it insects or weed pressure? Lack of nutrients? Machinery malfunction? Maybe an area didn't get seeded properly, or was it double seeded? What's the issue? Thing is, the data doesn't lie. And from our experiences, the aerial data we collect correlates very strongly with the situation on the ground. This graph is from a case study on wheat in 2015. You can see leaf nitrogen levels are strongly correlated with the NDVI calculations. The sensors detect the amount of photosynthetic activity in the plants, a product of the chlorophyll in the leaves. Chlorophyll requires nitrogen and other nutrients and fertilizer to turn light energy into food energy, and thus it correlates strongly with the yield. In this chart, from the same case study, you can see as the measured NDVI values increase, so does the yield numbers. So the data is collected, analyze it, ground truth it, and then you can make decisions. Or you can collect more data and make decisions later. There's essentially two methods of approaching the data, a reactionary or prescriptive approach and a long-term forensic tracking approach. Decisions could be made tomorrow or sometime after the season when you're planning for next year. So this is cool. This is a field of soybeans that was affected by spray drift from a herbicide application on wheat. You can see the wheat field at the bottom of the screen. Wheat clearly having a higher NDVI reflectance value than the soybeans at that time. But you can see along the edge of the bottom where the field was affected by the spray. All along the edge. In the blown-up image, you can see the limit of the spray drift pretty clearly. So this information can be turned into metrics pretty quickly. Area can be calculated, and after some on-the-ground comparisons of plants that were and were not affected, you can put a dollar amount to those losses. Here's hail damage through an NDVI lens. How about this? The next time your adjuster gives you a guesstimate of your losses, you can turn around with a precise calculation of losses based on scientific data. It's your insurance. NDVI technology can yield 15 to 20% savings in chemical use through a reduction in overlap sprays and under application. That was a quote from an article about the Green Seeker. The Green Seeker is a nifty handheld or machine-mounted gadget that can gather NDVI readings at ground level. We use it as a way to aggregate our data. Another article by the Western Producer correlated NDVI with input savings, stating an average benefit of $35 per acre. The data was compiled from 500,000 acres, representing 150 grain farms, with management input from 73 agronomists. It goes on to say that a 7,500-acre farm can save nearly $65,000 per year by reducing or eliminating fertilizer in two low-productivity areas identified using NDVI. Dave Gills, a corn producer from Illinois, said he saved $24,000 on corn inputs on his 4,000-acre farm. Brent Rendell from Oklahoma saved $60,000 over 2 years on his 4,000-acre farm. And Lee Motes from Ryston, Saskatchewan, saved $25,000 by skipping his in-season nitrogen application when he discovered that it just wasn't required. So another application of drone technology are digital elevation models. So by using smart ground control points, we can gather elevation data precise to within 3 centimeters of vertical accuracy. I had a call from a golf course the other day who was interested in having their golf greens measured to within 1% of the grade value. That's pretty precise. So this is Propeller Arrow Points. This is a new product that just goes on the ground. It's GPS enabled, and as the drone's flying over it, it can sense where these mats are, and can give you absolute data accuracies for elevation to within 3 centimeters. It's amazing. So drones are being used by conservation districts and can be very useful in gathering information for riparian assessments. So riparian zones are the areas right next to bodies of water. They're a very important piece of the ecosystem. Here's a couple RGB images that were taken along the Assiniboine River. And here's the RGB stitch. It's the orthomosaic from that same area. And then the color contour digital elevation model. And finally, the NDVI vegetation analysis. So drones are providing watershed planners with highly efficient methods of gathering precise data that simply wasn't accessible only a few years ago. So now, as for the limitations of the data, care and attention to detail is paramount on the part of the pilot. Here's an illustration of how clouds can affect the quality of the data. And though it's not usually a big problem, it can be if you let it, if you're not careful. So here's the stitched image prior to NDVI processing. And then there's the NDVI processed image. Now, would you believe that there's a thriving area of crop underneath all that red? Normally, you can see the shadows from the clouds in the unprocessed image, and it can be easily identify those areas and take them away as artifacts. Now, cloud interference in this case, usually it's not that bad, but in this case, this was a really big black storm cloud that was coming across as I was flying, and I had to land and pack up before I absolutely got drenched. So, now I mentioned earlier that drones are not toys. They are tools, in fact. And this is a point that I'm very passionate about. I take what I do very seriously, and I pay very close attention to the regulations set forth by Transport Canada. And when people neglect to follow and respect the rules set by Transport Canada, this is what happens. If they don't know how to operate their drone, and they don't actually know how it's flying or what can affect its ability to continue flying, bad things can happen. Like that. Thus, the importance of proper training and education through a registered ground school course to fill the gaps in knowledge. So you know the systems. You know the applications. You're thinking, what do I need to do in order to use this in my operation? Are drones dangerous? What are the rules? Transport Canada is primarily concerned with mitigating risk to the public and to individuals. Educating yourself on the potential risks is the first step to mitigating them. In order to ensure that people follow the rules, Transport Canada came up with something like a license called the Special Flight Operations Certificate. In the States, they call it a Part 107. The SFOC is essentially a list of limitations that a UAV operator must agree to adhere to. In order to get your driver's license, you have to take driver's ed, you have to pass a test, and you have to follow the rules. And when you break the rules, there's consequences. They can range from a few demerits to fines, driving bans, and possible criminal charges. Consequences for negligence and breaking the rules set by Transport Canada are similar in the same respect. Fines can range from $5,000 to $25,000, and there's a possibility for criminal charges for gross neglect of the regulations. So, completing a ground school course tells Transport Canada that the person controlling the aircraft is a trained UAV pilot. Anybody can buy a drone. They're not very expensive anymore. They're not particularly difficult to fly either, especially the more expensive ones, like $1,500 or so. But a pilot knows more than just how to fly the drone. They know when they can't fly the drone. They know what to look for when they get on site. They plan ahead. Drone operations are not decided on a moment's notice. NAV Canada must be involved in this process. They need to be involved in the communication and the planning process. They're NAV Canada, they're in charge of the skies. So even if you're operating in a remote location far away from humanity, it's a good idea to let them know what you're doing, and they'll give you clearance. And if you get clearance to fly once, and then if you're wanting to fly on your farm and you're just going to fly on your farm over and over, you really only need to get the clearance once, as long as they deem that it's okay. So I'm not telling you this as a guarantee. I'm saying it's something that could happen. You just have to communicate with them, and it is a situation that could arise where they let you continue flying without having to let them know every single time. So, the knowledge requirements. The primary component of any UAV ground school is the knowledge requirements for pilots of unmanned air vehicle systems. It's a document created by Transport Canada, and it can be found online, and it describes the topics and information that pilots must understand. You must have proof of completion of one of these courses to a minimum standard of 60% on a summative examination. So this may come as a surprise, but any operation of a UAV for any purpose other than for the pure enjoyment of flying is considered a commercial operation. The regulations have not always been abundantly clear on this either. However, as of December 2016, a new set of regulations have been released by Transport Canada and detail with much more clarity the stipulations in place to operate drones safely and legally. The UAV exemption is a list of conditions set by Marc Garneau. He's Canada's Minister of Transport. And it defines 61 conditions that must be met if you want to use your drone in a commercial operation without having to get an SFOC. So feel free to take some pictures at this point. The next couple slides are kind of some of the major points that you really need to be aware of if you want to use a drone on your in your farming operation. So, major one here, you must be 18 years or older. Now, there's a caveat that if you're 16 years, if you're a youth, 16 years or older, you can operate the drone. However, you have to be supervised by someone, and it has to be for research purposes. And Transport Canada has to approve this. It can't just be you approving it. You have to communicate with Transport Canada on that, and they have to give you clearance ahead of time. You have to have at least $100,000 liability insurance, aviation liability insurance. That's different than farm and business insurance. So this is something you need on top. And you must have completed a ground school course. You must operate within visual line of sight. You can't exceed 1/2 mile from the pilot. You must operate during the daytime. That's a big one. And you can't exceed 300 feet above ground level. A lot of drone systems have limits set on how high they can fly based into their software, but not all of them. And you can get around that in some cases. Our SFOC allows us to fly up to 500 feet. Now, 500 feet is the edge of manned aircraft space. So planes with people in them can be flying at 500 feet, and that's why Transport Canada said 300 feet above ground level so that they can have a buffer zone in between. You must operate only in Class G airspace. So Class G is uncontrolled, which means there's nobody monitoring it. There's nobody sitting in an office watching radar of this area. There could be planes in that area that are just flying around, spraying crops, that kind of thing. And there could be other UAV users in the area as well. A ground school course will cover airspaces a little bit more, like it's a little bit more complicated than just saying Class G airspace. But you have to know where you are. That's kind of a paramount piece of the puzzle. So you have to operate a minimum of 9 kilometers away from any airport. And as I said previously, you need to notify NAV Canada of your operation, where you're flying, how high, what you're flying, when, for how long, and over how large of an area. And they need GPS coordinates to track all this information. So if you're going to be flying in the same, like I said, if you're flying in the same place, they may give you a clearance to keep flying there without having to tell them over and over. And that's just 10 of 61. So 61 conditions that you have to meet. And that is so that you don't have to go through the SFOC process. And there's a big application for the SFOC that takes a lot of time to put together if you want to do it properly. In our course, you'll learn about the different hardware and software systems, how to collect and process imagery. You'll learn all about the regulations, the software systems, uses, the mission planning, safety, insurance, radio procedure, and you'll get a walkthrough of the SFOC process. So these are just a bunch of references from that I used. Now, as I said, 20 minutes is not enough time to get through all the information, but hopefully this was some information if you are thinking about using UAVs in your operation, that you'll start getting your brain juices flowing on what you want to do to actually do it and not have to worry about Transport Canada coming and breathing down your neck. Yeah. Thank you very much for having me here. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. I'll be hanging around up there.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you at Manitoba Ag Days 2018 from January 16th to 18th.